Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We are, having just been through Easter, going back again a little bit to the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, the account of his laboring before his Father in prayer in Gethsemane. We looked at that together a few weeks ago from Matthew's Gospel, and then in connection with the third petition, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Remember Jesus' words, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Our focus this afternoon is, as we move along in our study of the Lord Jesus' teaching on prayer, his Lord's Prayer, we come to the final petition, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And in connection with Jesus' prayer, in Luke 22, we're reminded as well of his words to Peter. At one point, we understand that in Jesus going three times to his Father, every time he came back, he found his disciples asleep, and one time he addressed Peter, "Are you too sleeping?" But here in Luke chapter 22, the Lord Jesus warns Peter about what is going to befall him. Peter's stumbling and falling, and I believe there is instruction and encouragement for us with regard to prayer and our need for prayer and the blessing that is ours through prayer. Luke 22 at verse 31. This is the word of God. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon." He's addressing Peter as Simon, addressing him with great love, but also with great urgency. "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So they said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me." That is, "And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Look, Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It's enough." Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." I encourage you to keep your Bibles open here to Luke chapter 22. And I'd ask you to turn with me as well you're able, to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52. This is a summary of the Bible's teaching, and we come to the 52nd Lord's Day. That's the last Sunday. This catechism is divided into 52 Lord's Days. The intention is that we get a repeated focus on the fundamental things of the Christian life, and the last fundamental things are the things Jesus teaches us about prayer through the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Day 52, you may find in the Forms and Prayers books on page 257 or in your Trinity Psalter hymnals, page 896. We're going to focus just on the first question and answer this afternoon. It reads as follows. What does the sixth petition mean? Answer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to continue to learn from the Lord Jesus the things he has taught us with regard to prayer. We've come along to the sixth petition. One of the things I think is important for us to realize is that as helpful as it is to have formal instruction in prayer, as helpful as it is to have a model for praying given to us in the Lord's Prayer, there's also something very crucial, something very rich and very blessed about the realization that prayer isn't just about following a model. Prayer isn't just about formality. It certainly is helped by some of these things. But when we find ourselves in great difficulty, sometimes formality needs to go out the window. And by the grace of God, we can also say sometimes it can well go out the window. When we come to the sixth petition, we recognize that we're not suggesting make sure you have covered all the other five aspects before you get to this one. I trust that we can recognize from our own lives, our own experience, perhaps also particularly from out of the context in which we live right now, that we live in days where prayer is urgently needed. And I think we can appreciate as well from what we've read together of the Lord Jesus' prayers, something of the urgency that he has modeled for us. It teaches us we need this particular prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus, in his own praying, in terms of what we've read from Luke chapter 22, has given instruction to his closest followers. He said at 22 verse 40, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And when he came back again and found them sleeping, he leaves off with these words as he is ready to make his way to the cross. Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I think we can all think of circumstances in our lives where prayer over against temptation is something that we desperately need. But what I want us to appreciate this afternoon in terms of the instruction the Lord Jesus Christ gives us And also in light of the summary of the Bible's teaching that's given to us here in the Catechism, is that this particular petition is not merely an occasional petition, not an occasional request that we might remember to bring before the Lord on occasion if we think we need it. And it's not merely an emergency petition. Now, desperately, it is needed in times of great desperation, and indeed it can well be an emergency petition. But I guess what I want us to appreciate is that those circumstances, those occasions, those emergencies are not merely from time to time, like the time we may find ourselves in today. The Lord Jesus Christ's urging us to rise and to pray, lest we enter into temptation, is something we need all the time. And if we know anything about ourselves, if we know anything about the weakness of our flesh, anything about the challenges that we face, we will know this to be true. And I ask us to give some thought, every one of us individually, to what particular temptations are unique to us, or even what particular temptations are unique to this time that we find ourselves in, or how are we more susceptible to temptation in light of the days in which we live, the days being evil, the challenges being overwhelming in some ways. How are you tempted? How are you the more easily tempted? And as we ask these questions of ourselves, I trust that we are encouraged to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has urged us to pray. He welcomes such prayer. He tells us we need to be such prayers. And the promise is that there's hope. The promise is that the Lord our God hears us when we pray. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has himself prayed for Peter, who does also himself pray for us, he prays for every one of us, prays in such a way that we are saved to the uttermost. He'll never let us go. He'll see to it that even if we should stumble and fall, we are restored again. That's the confidence we may have because of Jesus praying. And therefore, that ought to alert us to the blessing and the privilege that is ours as Jesus teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I'm going to preach about praying against temptation. We need this prayer. I trust you understand you need this prayer. I trust that this is something that you are praying regularly with an earnest understanding about yourself. So the first thing we want to consider this afternoon is the concern that we have and an acknowledgement of our susceptibility. We are needy. We are weak. We are frail. We're not going to make it. We're easily sucked in. We're easily sucked along in the ways of sin, in the ways of temptation. Sometimes we sing that we are prone to wander, and we feel it. And that's a reality we need to acknowledge and confess. And that makes the need for prayer an urgent one. Prayer, we have been seeing, is not sort of a casual sort of la-di-da talking with God. Prayer is a pouring forth of our hearts to God in an acknowledgement of our need. The blessing of prayer is that we are able to groan inwardly with heartfelt requests to God, acknowledging that we need Him very much. That's what prayer is. Prayer is to be from the heart. Prayer is to be passionate about the glory of God. Hallowed be your name. Prayer is to be passionate about the purposes of God in His kingdom, in His gathering of His church, in all of His purposes in the earth. Prayer is to be passionate about our desire that God should be glorified in our lives, that God's will should be done. All of these things we have looked at, and all of these things we have focused in on. We need to be passionate about our own struggle, passionate about our frustration with our own failings, our own sins before God. When we speak about passion here this afternoon, I want us to take note of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ in the reading we've read together from Luke chapter 22. On His face in the Garden of Gethsemane, making preparations for His way to the cross that is to happen the very next day. Luke, the gospel writer, here has recorded for us in 22 verse 44, He was so much in agony as He prayed earnestly that His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke was a physician. Luke would have taken note of these things as he heard of them and made record of them. And this speaks to us of the intensity of Jesus' passion. Jesus' passion to go to the cross. Jesus' passion to do the Father's will. Jesus' passion not to turn aside to the left or to the right. Of course, we recognize here as we look at Jesus, we're not Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is experiencing an agony here that is altogether unique to Him because He's beginning to feel the weight on His shoulders of the wrath of God being placed upon Him for our sins. And this is pressing out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden. And because Jesus Christ will take this reality to the cross, we thank God as sinners who put their trust in the Lord Jesus that this is not something that will be expected of us. So there's something unique about what Jesus does. Nevertheless, we ought to learn at least this much, that Jesus prays passionately that the will of God be done. And what He has urged us to be praying for, again, I mentioned it, verse 40 and verse 46, he highlights it twice at the beginning of His time in the garden and at the end, is that we pray that we may not enter into temptation. Pray lest you enter into temptation. We've already, in our study of prayer, being encouraged. It was just last week, wasn't it, when we looked at the fifth petition. We've been encouraged in what Jesus Christ has taught us when He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's an encouragement for us because we know there is forgiveness with God, that He may be feared. It's an encouragement that we may be confident of because of Christ's blood. And we rejoice in the forgiveness that we have. We rejoice to know we can have peace with God. We can live in the certainty that our sins are forgiven and that we have an eternity prepared for us because of Christ's blood. And we can know that that blessing is not going to be taken away. We can know that God is not going to take away with His left hand what He has given with His right. Nevertheless, we also acknowledge, even as Christians who know ourselves forgiven, we're not done with sin yet. And we need this particular petition very desperately. Lord, lead us not into temptation. We need His help. We're so easily led astray. Again, I ask you just to, on self-reflection, think about what your own particular temptations are or what your temptations are particularly in these days. And can you not say with the kind of urgency that we are taught in the Catechism, we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment? And do you not recognize our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us? Do you see in what we've read in Luke chapter 22 that we're just like the rest of the disciples, and certainly just like Peter, inclined to think we've got this, inclined to think we're doing quite well, inclined to think we don't have any difficulties, and then we neglect prayer. We neglect watchfulness and carefulness. And Jesus has urged us to rise and pray lest we enter into temptation. Jesus had passionately and lovingly said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." But Peter responds, 22 verse 33, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Peter was self-confident. Peter thought he had this whole thing in hand. Everything was going to be fine. And yet Peter is among all of those sleeping, and Peter will certainly not stand. Peter will certainly fall and fail. And that's something that we need to be humbled by. Confidence cannot be self-confidence, because then we will surely, surely fall. We need to appreciate our need for God's grace and for His Holy Spirit. We need to appreciate just how susceptible we are to temptation, and not be brazen and bold in our own strength. Story is told, boys and girls, of a medieval castle owner. This lord of his castle, he wanted to hire a carriage driver to bring his children up and down the mountain up to the castle. And the mountain roads went back and forth and round corners and over and looking over cliffs and those sorts of things. And as he was hoping to hire a driver for his carriage, he wanted to see just who would be the most appropriate to drive the carriage that would carry his children. So he said, "You know, there are many cliffs along the sides of the road, and I want to know just how close you think you can get to the edge of the cliff without falling off." And one of the first ones to respond said, "You know, I think I can get within probably 6 inches of the cliff." And the fellow says, "Okay, that's interesting. And how about you?" So the next one says, "I think I can get within 3 inches of the cliff." And the third one says, "I can get within an inch of the edge of the cliff." And the fourth one says, "I wouldn't go near the edge of the cliff. I'd be hugging the other side of the road." And he says, "You can take my children." And we need to appreciate that our approach to temptations ought to be like that. There ought not to be this sort of self-confidence that says, "I can do as I please. I can face the challenges. I'll be okay. I'm strong in and of myself." We are susceptible. We are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. The devil, the world, our own sinful flesh never stop attacking us. That the disciples didn't get that. The disciples were sleeping when Jesus was agonizing. The Lord Jesus Christ was pondering the weight of our sin, and they didn't think it was all that serious at all. The Lord Jesus Christ took the reality of Satan seriously when he said very frankly to Simon, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat." And Jesus' disciples didn't think that would be a concern at all. Again, Peter says, "I can handle this." We need rather to see how susceptible we really are. And I pray that we may be honest with ourselves and honest to God with regard to how much we need Him. How frail we are. Lord, we are so weak. Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Spirit. I want to move on in the second place and make confession here of God's sovereignty. What we're saying here when we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, is an acknowledgement that God is sovereign. That the Lord leads where He wills. And we can acknowledge sometimes the Lord will lead us through difficult pathways. The Lord will lead us alongside of difficult situations. The Lord will lead us into situations where we are confronted with temptation. The Lord Jesus is acknowledging the sovereignty of God when He says to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. Now that's humbling. It's eye-opening. Satan is engaged here. Satan prowls around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is on the prowl, but Satan has to ask. And God is in control. And that's good news. It's just like Satan has to ask with regard to his desire to afflict Job, God's servant, in the Old Testament. And again, we're encouraged in knowing that in all of this, God is sovereign. In all of this, God is sovereign. God, don't lead me into temptation. Now, we need to be careful, very careful, with an understanding of these things. The Bible tells us very plainly, in James 1, verse 17, there is no variation or shadow of turning with God. James 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God tempts no one. God is not the author of sin. God cannot be charged with sin. God doesn't cause us to sin. Thanks be to God. But there is great comfort for us in knowing that God is sovereign over against every temptation. And therefore, the God to whom we pray, Lord, help, Lord, uphold me. Lord, help me to withstand. Help me to turn away. Help me to keep my distance. Help me not to fall into this sin. He is sovereign and strong. He's able. And He's also wise. And we also see from the illustration here the instance of Jesus dealing with Simon. Jesus is going to let him fall. Jesus is going to let Simon be led into temptation where he will mess up badly. Now, why would He do that? Ultimately, we know it's because He loves Simon. Simon, Simon, He says in love. And Simon, I've prayed for you. So we know in Simon's case, he needed to be humbled. He needed to understand, I can't do this on my own. And we can ask ourselves, if there are circumstances where we are in danger of being led astray, led into temptation, or perhaps better, looking back on our lives where we have fallen, can we not look back and recognize that, like Simon, we needed to learn? We needed to be able to acknowledge our need for God, our need for His grace. Maybe we were proud and needed to be humbled. Maybe we like to play with sin and were enamored by the pleasures of sin for a season, and maybe we needed to see the emptiness. God is at work. And we can acknowledge with gladness His sovereignty with regard to our temptation. Now, that's not an invitation for any of us to say, well, then I might as well sin that grace may abound. I might as well jump in with both feet. I might as well just go and sin because everything is going to be okay. Again, that would be self-confidence. That would be thinking you have the strength to come through this on your own. But we don't. Thomas Watson, a Puritan, he spoke of temptation this way. He says, it's easy for a bird to fly into the fowler's trap, but it's not so easy to fly out again. And the blessing of being restored in forgiveness is only of grace. The blessing of repentance to turn from our sins is not something we give to ourselves. It's something we need from God, so we should never take it for granted. Maybe it helps as well to think of an illustration Charles Spurgeon has used with regard to the drunkard walking down the road and thinking everything was well, and he's carrying his candle in front of him, lighting his way home, but then he's looking at his candle in his drunkenness, but he thinks he has two. I don't need two candles, he says, so he goes to blow the one out, and then he's in the dark completely. So we should not take for granted the grace of God. We can rejoice in God's sovereign, gracious dealings with us when we have fallen, even as Jesus deals with Peter. I've prayed for you. You're going to fall. I've prayed for you. When you return, strengthen the brethren. Jesus wants to use Peter again, and he will. You see, our confidence here is in the Savior. That's the third point very briefly this afternoon. Our confidence is in the Savior. Jesus prays for us. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, to save us to the uttermost. We need Jesus. And Jesus will restore Peter like he promised. The gospel will go to Peter. Everyone will know that Jesus is risen, and you make sure you tell Peter too. Mark 16, verse 7. Jesus will make sure that Peter understands he's been restored, that Jesus loves him dearly, and Peter will be used of God gladly. The confidence, you see, is in Jesus. Confidence is not in ourselves. But then fourthly, what happens now? As we ask God to make us strong, not to be defeated in this spiritual fight, but to resist our enemies, that we might win the complete victory, we want to be obedient and joy. We don't want to walk in the way of sin and temptation. Same as Peter. Peter, when you have returned again, when you're restored, strengthen the brethren. There's a desire now to serve the Lord with great joy and gladness. And understand, just think of Peter and his usefulness now. His usefulness as the Lord has sovereignly brought him through his failings and sovereignly taught him about his weakness and need. The Apostle Peter would be one who is tender and gracious. The one who is able to deal with sinners who are struggling with sin or are tempted heavily. I get it. I understand. And so all of us who are able to look back on the way the Lord has led us through temptation are enabled as well to be kind and gracious to others. And all of us are able, as we look back on our experiences in God's sovereign dealings with us, able to say to others, don't go there. Sin is bitter. Don't begin in that direction. It won't end well. Don't stay with sin. Don't open yourself up in your susceptibility to more sin. It's dreadful. It's destructive. Turn. Return to your Savior. and live. Our desire, you see, is to strengthen one another, and we'll be able to say, don't be negligent in prayer. Don't think for a moment you can handle this in your own strength. Call upon the Lord. Cry out to Him. He is ready to hear. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to uphold and bless and use you. Just like the Lord is eager to use Peter, restored Peter, who was tempted, who did fall, who knew the blessing of being humbled and understanding how much he needed God's grace. And so, encouragement for every one of us is to be people of prayer. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. You see, the acknowledgement that, well, God, He can bring us through, and He has, and you look back over your failings, you've learned from them, you thank God for that. Which of us would ever say, I want to do that again? If you would ask Peter if he wanted to do that again, deny his Lord, he would say, are you crazy? Never. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. We won't want to get to the point where the Lord has to, in His severe mercy, deal with us in such a way that we hit rock bottom, so to speak, and need to cry out. We get to the bottom before it happens by getting on our knees and crying out, Lord, I am weak. Help me to remember. Lord, uphold me by Your grace and by Your Spirit. Give me great joy in my salvation and an eager desire to love and serve. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for the way You love us. Father, we acknowledge there have been times in our lives where we've learned difficult lessons in terms of our own weakness and frailty and foolishness. Those were not pleasant lessons. We thank You, Father, when we can look back on them and say, thank You for humbling us. Thank You for bringing us through. Thank You for Your grace and loving kindness. But Lord, we don't want to go there again. For Your name's sake, for the glory of Your name, for the sake of our witness that we may be a blessing, for the sake of our joy in knowing You and walking with You, we need You to uphold us and lead us not into temptation. Help us to take sin seriously, seeing how seriously the Lord Jesus Christ took it when He took our sin to the cross. We ask, Father, that You will help every one of us to be earnest in prayer, humble in our acknowledgement that we need You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.